And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donnick, and Chase on this rainy, rainy day. Man, it is coming down out there. So if you're out and about, be careful. I don't know if it's going to be like this all day or not.
It is.
But it was nasty coming in. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donnick.
Hello.
That's him. Chase Marco, babe.
Good morning.
That's him. Elijah Campbell behind the glass, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. I feel like we're in a spirited mood here today. I think it's going to be spirited today. I feel it.
I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of in that mood. Like, it's rainy. It's Monday. So I'm in a just not. Yeah, I don't want to put up with any stuff today.
You're not in the mood for any nonsense.
Nonsense. Any.
Don't bring your nonsense to the show today.
Any word I can't say, you know?
Trading deadline is in about 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
In the NHL. Let's start with news on the Predators front. They have actually made a move just now.
They have.
We go over to the desk of Chase McCabe. He is standing by. Chase, what do you got?
The Nashville Predators have announced that they have signed forward Rocco Grimaldi to a 2-year, $4 million contract extension. So, Rocco Grimaldi, safe to say, will not be traded today. He has re-signed.
Wow.
Good move for him. Congrats to him.
Wins it on Saturday in the eighth round and gets rewarded today with a new contract.
Yeah.
Very good for him.
So, we're efforting to have him on before the show is out today. So, hopefully we can make that happen, but congrats to Rocco, because you know, the three of us have all gotten to know him since he's been here the last 2 years, and just that story and what he's done for this team, the year he has had, look, that's well deserved. And so it's awesome, and very excited for him as I see trades come through.
Well, think about these. Think about the journey for Rocco Grimaldi. By the way,
I was getting ready to say that. Just think about it. All started with David telling us on his weekly chat that he told Rocco to go buy a house, right? And where everybody was like, oh, cool.
Yeah. And I think the story even behind that in the years leading up to that is pretty remarkable. It's about to get very busy here, I think, on this trade deadline. We're going to be all over this throughout the show. But let's take a moment and look at Rocco Grimaldi's career. Now, he was drafted in the second round. This is way back in 2011.
This is what got my attention in training camp when we're like, who is this little guy out there that's very visible? Who is this guy? And you look up, it's like Rocco Grimaldi. And that was what jumped out at me. I'm like, why? So the Florida Panthers drafted him in the second round. High second round. It was a high second round pick. And I'm like, that intrigued me right out of the gates because, you know, he's a guy that was drafted pretty high.
But from the time he was drafted, he played 3 years of college, did a very good job at a great college program at North Dakota. And then he goes through an up-and-down stage with both the Panthers and the Avalanche for 4 years, right? He was in the minors most of the time for 4 years. So I don't know if I would say the Panthers and the Avalanche gave up on him, but they certainly didn't value him very much. They were ready to sort of just say, this guy is not going to play for us.
Yeah.
Right? And those are, at the time.
We see that in the league.
It happens in the league.
Most of the time, guys have come from somewhere else, for the most part.
Right,
right?
But that gives...
Somebody's given up on him.
But you got to have perseverance to fight through that. Right? It would have been easy to say, well, I gave it my shot. You know, this is 7 years after I was drafted. And maybe it's not going to happen. And when he was picked up here, it was a very crowded, talented group of forwards that he had to crack, right? And he didn't crack it at the beginning of last year. He had to go to Milwaukee and put up good numbers there and wait his turn. And last year, we were pretty impressed with what he did, but he was playing mostly on the fourth line, right? He wasn't playing, you know, the key minutes. He was doing a really good job in that role. And this year, he's made the most of every opportunity. He's moved up more to the third line. He's become one of the most consistent forwards. He's got 30 points and a plus 12 plus minus. And he doesn't play. And on top of that, so 30 points without any significant power play time. So not a lot of ice time and quite a bit of production. So this is just a great individual story. It's gotten even better, right? Remember
Absolutely.
Last year, Darren referenced he got a chance to get permanent housing, then the guaranteed contract to start the year this year, and now a guaranteed two-year contract. So great success story. And I said this, I thought this after the game on Saturday. Where would this team be this year without Rocco Grimaldi, with all of the guys that have not had great seasons, not even good seasons for them, and the team that has clawed and scratched to stay right on the bubble, not clicking on all cylinders? Where would they be without him and a couple other guys, really?
Well, the two other guys on the line that's been pretty much together all year. I mean, where would they be without that line?
That line has kept them afloat. Really, when you get down to it.
There's no way anybody could argue that.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
Well, it's definitely a big day for him, but we're going to, like you said, Willie and Darren, that the trades are coming in. Patrick Marleau has been dealt to the Pittsburgh Penguins from San Jose for a third-round pick, so Marleau joining a cup contender right away, which I heard this morning listening to Joe and Robbie that, you know, that was something that was out there that Jumbo Joe or Patrick Marleau could be traded from the Sharks to a cup contender, and then you circle back around this summer if they want to come back. But
like, I just don't see Joe Thornton ever wearing another jersey. I just
I could see it.
I don't see it this year.
I just don't.
Why would you not trade him if you're the Sharks?
I just think that he's just going to end there. I just don't think he'll wear another jersey. Marleau, yes. I mean, it's already happened.
I mean, he has control.
You don't think he wants to go somewhere and play for a cup,
nah.
Joe Thornton?
Yeah.
He started with the Bruins, you know. He played for a long time with them before he went
to San
Jose.
Nobody remembers Joe Thornton with the Bruins.
He was the first overall pick.
His identity has been in San Jose.
3 centuries ago.
He's 49, so.
it was in the Stone Age.
Yeah, Joe Rex wrote, he's 49 and he's still playing hockey. Older people can still play, okay? That was going back to our conversation about Tom Brady. Joe wants to put Tom out to pasture. Just send him to the glue factory. He's old. Joe Thornton looks like he looks like he's 69. I'm just saying I don't see it. Marleau, I wouldn't rule it out at all.
I wouldn't rule it out. Well, Marleau is kind of the same as Thornton. I don't know why you consider him that.
But
he
just came back. He's been like Joe hasn't gone anywhere in a long time. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, tell me when he was drafted. 1976?
Well, they were drafted the same year, Marleau and Thornton. Marlowe's played more games with the Sharks because he started with the Sharks.
Yeah. But he spent the last how many seasons with
Toronto? Well, he went to Toronto, what, two seasons maybe?
Yeah. Sort of sounds right. By the way, the Predators play whom tomorrow night?
Ottawa.
Ottawa has made a trade.
They have. Well, they've made a few trades the last few.
Well, they've made a trade today.
Yeah.
Kind of a big one.
A big one.
So you want to tell everybody about it?
Well, Jean-Gabriel Pageot has been traded from Ottawa to the New York Islanders. And they got a lot of assets back. Ottawa, for a guy that I think is a really good, solid player, he's not a headliner, but he gets... Now, listen to what they got here. A first round in 2020, that's this year, but it is lottery protected. It will shift to a first in 2021. They'll push it back a year if that pick ends up in the top three.
Which could easily happen.
Well, the Islanders, well, yeah.
Right, for Ottawa.
So wait, when you say lottery protected, that means it has to end up in the top three? For it to count this year, or
yeah, but the Islanders aren't going to pick in the top three.
I thought it was on Ottawa.
No, they're getting the Islanders' first round pick.
That's true.
So if the Islanders were to miss the playoffs, they would have a minuscule chance of winning the lottery, which is, I mean, could happen, but it's not going to. I think the Islanders are probably going to make the playoffs. Although I'll tell you what, there's going to be one or two good teams that don't make it in the East. If you don't make it in the West. It's on you, right?
Right.
You're not good enough.
The
East,
it's brutal.
It's going to take 98 or 99 points to make it, maybe even 100.
That's why I think when you threw out the number of points in the West, I'm going to probably disagree with you. I think it's going to be lower than normal.
It might. Well, I don't think it's definitely lower than normal.
No, I mean, you threw out 95.
I think to be sure.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be less.
I think it's a deadline. Oh, I think it's very likely to be less.
Like, that's how bad the West is this year. I think it's going to be less.
It could be 91.
91, 92 is what I'm thinking.
Absolutely. It could. I just, you'll be sweating it out if that, you're going to go down to the last day. I'm saying if you get to 94, 95, you're going to feel very certain.
I think if you're in the West with 94, 95 points, I don't think there's really, this year, there's nothing to really discuss. I think you're going to find a spot.
And it's, you know,
just,
how many,
it's just down.
You know how many points the Predators had in 2017 when they went to the Stanley Cup final?
Probably right around the same amount of points as the right now.
94.
Oh, well, you're talking about at the end. Okay.
Yeah, 94. Well, yeah, no, it's not that different where they are now compared to at this time of the season compared to 17. Not very often.
94 was last in.
But they didn't just get – so going back to the haul that the Islanders gave to the Senators for Peugeot, a first-round pick either this year or next year, plus a second-round pick and a conditional third if the Islanders win the Stanley Cup. I guess the third would drop to a lower pick. So three draft picks, including a first and a second for Peugeot. Now, how many people out there
he will not be in the lineup?
A whole lot about
the point is he's had a really good year for a team, and he's not going to be in the lineup tomorrow night.
Listen,
that's good news.
If you can't beat the Senators, whether he's in there or not,
I totally agree. This is what
they've
I know.
Run out of yeah.
They better they we don't. There is no discussion if we're not talking about 2 points tomorrow. Honestly, if you for everything that's at stake and everything that's on the line and everything we've talked about all year, this is what I know. If they don't come away with 2 points tomorrow night at home against Ottawa, then I don't really know what we're talking about. Like, we've run out of excuses, right? I mean, come on. That team is bad. Although I would have said they should have beat up on Columbus, too, on Saturday, and it took 8 rounds of a shootout.
But Columbus is
a lot more talented than Ottawa.
Hard-nosed team, but it still was pretty crazy how that game went. There are other trades that have gone on that are pretty big. Vincent Trocheck, a key member of the Florida Panthers, who are in the race, for sure. They have traded him to the Carolina Hurricanes. So that one...
But they've been fumbling around on the outside looking in all year.
But Florida went for it. Remember how much they invested in the offseason.
Yeah, Bobrovsky.
So I'm really surprised.
Their coach is kind of well-known, and it hasn't worked out. I think he's going to find out that Sunrise Florida is a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. It's also 1 year.
So, yeah.
You know.
And the Eastern Conference, as we've been talking about, is really tough.
I find it... I go back to the conversation we had with Barry Trotz that, you know, I brought up the biggest difference between the East and the West, and it's the travel. But I do think there is a little bit of a adjustment period, especially for a guy, you know, that has coached in the West for so long. So, you know, I mean, I know it's probably not a big difference, but he's got to get used to all that and then, you know, building his team and the culture the way that he wants. So, look, it's going to take maybe a year or two, but I have a lot of faith that he's the right guy for that job.
The Panthers get Eric Halla, Lucas Walmark, and then two prospects, it looks like. So it's an interesting trade between two teams that are within, 2 points of each other in the standings, two to 4 points.
Quite a holla for Florida. So we'll come back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase.
That was good, actually.
Nice. On the other
very
side.
Nice. Yeah, nice job.
ESPN 102.5, the game. Rocco Grimaldi, there has been a deal done, a deal struck by David Poile on the Predators. It's with Rocco Grimaldi, one of their own, a 2-year, $4 million deal. So congratulations to Rocco Grimaldi. We'll keep you abreast of everything going on in the NHL trade deadline as we are about 3 hours and 40 minutes from everything getting wrapped up. A lot of moves happening. We'll talk to Hal Gill. Skillsy will join us at 11. By the way, Scott Hartnell turned on last night. I'm watching, getting ready for the Blues and the Wild to watch that. And watching the NBC Sports Network studio show. There stands Scott Hartnell.
Did you see they played a clip of Scott Hartnell?
I saw that.
You know, crashing
the Flyers.
The net.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And scored a goal against the Blues. And the guy in goal was a guy we know.
C. Mace.
Yeah. Mm. I wonder if Mace caught that last night. It was your classic Scott Hartnell goal. And it's like, I don't know if they made eye contact. They probably didn't in the moment. Of course, those two guys are good friends. They played a season. Remember, during the lockout, they went to Norway and won a championship together. The season that nobody played, right? They were on the same team. They won the cup in the Norwegian League. So those guys go way back. So that was an interesting thing, seeing Hartnell score on
Mace. It's also interesting to hear Scott Hartnell talk about Kevin Fiala.
Yes, I heard that.
Huh? Thought that was pretty interesting.
He said he reminds me of myself when I was young.
I was like,
it was really something.
Which is Scott Hartnell admitting that he was a little bit of a handful, which we've said many, many times that he used to drive Brent Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
And Barry Trotz crazy early on. And they knew he was extremely talented, and they loved what he brought to the table, but he drove them crazy sometimes with stupid penalties and stuff like that. And by the way, he also referenced how he was cocky when he was young.
Yep.
And he said Kevin Fiala is not lacking confidence.
Not lacking confidence.
A.K.A. cocky.
And what happened in the game, of course, is St. Louis dismantled the Wild. Ever since St. Louis lost the two games to the Predators.
They've been on a roll.
And you could tell in that Sunday game, St. Louis was starting to get their game back.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville clawed and scratched, and Rene played well, and Turris made the big play. But that seemed to get the Blues going in the right direction. They've only given up, like, what, two goals since then? They have
Their goalies have been lights out.
They have been lights out.
But also, did you notice them breaking down? I think it was first period intermission. Look, what we've been talking about with the Predators all year, especially when things have gone wrong, all the traffic in front, right? Like, the opponent has got so much traffic in front. Look at that. They were breaking down the Blues. Like, the Blues keep everything on the print. They do not let you. They're not going to let you have traffic. I mean, you're going to have to really, really work to create traffic in front. Like, they were breaking it down of how they just keep everything spread out, which, you know, we've always said, really doesn't matter the goaltender in this league. If they could see the puck, they're probably going to make the save. And right now, those goalies are getting are benefiting from the Blues doing a great job of keeping everybody out of their way.
Well, the Predators are doing that now. They're doing a much better job. Their system has adjusted to where I think they're defending much better. You're seeing it now in the goals against. The goalies' numbers are coming around. Now it's time to put it all together, if they're going to, and get the offense without sacrifice. Because the defensive structure is helping. There's no question about it. But also keep this in mind going forward. The Predators have 10 games against the Central from now until the end of the season. Out of the last 21, three of them are against the Wild. So the Wild lose last night. I'm curious what that does. They're still mathematically in a position where it's realistic that they could make it. But in their heart, I think Bill Guerin wants to keep retooling. He likes some of the moves he's made, you know, looking down the road. I'm really curious to see what their lineup does, or what they do with their lineup today. Do they trade another veteran or two?
Dan Rosen tweeting out, looks like Chris Kreider. There's news.
Mm-hmm.
There's news with Chris Kreider. He's not going anywhere. Rangers, Elijah's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, by the way, we're ready.
Seven.
When there's a trade, Elijah's ready back there.
Seven. Oh, but that's not the case. That is not the case here. The Rangers have inked Kreider to seven more years.
Mm.
Not going anywhere. Not going to do it. He's staying put. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
Yeah, I did too. I feel like that's what everybody wanted, and they get it done. I haven't seen the money yet, but 7-year deal to keep him there. And he was, would you guys say he was the biggest fish that was available?
Well, I don't think there's any doubt, which is where I was going with this, that everything that's happened now, and now the Kreider news,
mm-hmm.
What's probably the most attractive piece that's still out there, in your opinion?
Mikhail Granlund?
Well, Kreider was the guy.
I think so. From a forward standpoint, yeah.
Well, with
you could make that case.
Well, with Peugeot and Kreider, they were both guys. Now, I have to check the age on Kreider.
Here,
how old is Kreider?
He's going to make an average of $6.5 million a year. I can tell you that. Chris Kreider is 28.
28. So right in the prime of a little bit career. Younger than Craig Smith. But I would put Craig Smith as the same type of player as Chris Kreider.
But he's about to turn 29 next month, or April.
And Craig is 30.
Craig is 30, yeah. But they're both consistent 20-goal kind of guys. Kreider maybe just a little bit more productive, I guess. A little more dynamic. But I do think this is setting up a situation. I don't think there's any question that it's a seller's market. You don't have guys like Duchesne and Stone, Panarin. Remember the big names that were swirling around last year at this time. Remember, we were sitting in the arena last year on a game day.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Wayne Simmonds and all the – I mean, we were going nuts with all the trades that were going on. This year, the pool is smaller of big names that are out there. So I think that means – David Poile is going to get some phone calls, I think, for some probably pretty good offers mm-hmm. based on what some of these forwards are going for. And now Kreider's off the market for guys like Granlund and Smith. I don't think there's any question. And it's a tribute to those guys because they're both playing very, very well.
Do you think
they're both pending free agents?
Do you think the Rangers could have gotten a first-round pick for Kreider?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I'm getting. That's what I'm getting
absolutely.
At. So you've seen Pageau, Kreider go for a first round. Then why wouldn't you think it would be silly for us to think that David, at some point today, is not going to have somebody say, "All right, look, I didn't want to have to go there, but I got to make this. I got to make a move. I will give you our first round pick." Is that crazy to think that?
No, not
that
at all.
Somebody offers that up?
Not at all. Do you guys think that either Smith or Granlund re-sign here?
I think Craig Smith definitely. I would slide more chips on the side of him re-signing here than probably Granlund.
Willie?
Like 70-30.
I think mathematically they have room for one, but probably not for both.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Smith has a better chance than Granlund. So, with all that said, and I don't see either one of those. Like Craig Smith, for instance, I don't see it being announced today that he's re-signed. I think they wait till the offseason still, even though they did do that for Rocco today. That's why I'm starting to – I woke up today going, David Poile's probably not going to do anything. Now that I've seen some of the moves that have happened and some of the prices, you know, some of the returns they've gotten for these guys, I'm starting to lean more towards that he might get an offer from Mikael Granlund or Craig Smith or both that he just simply cannot say no to.
Okay, from a hockey standpoint, I think you're absolutely right. I think if you're strictly
looking at
the
hockey. But that doesn't make your team better. That's the thing.
I think that's the dilemma. Let's take it from the ownership standpoint.
All right, let's save it. Let's come up. Let's come back.
I'll pitch because I think this is the discussion that's got to be has to be had today in the next few hours.
Yeah,
probably right.
We'll discuss that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase on this rainy Monday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looks like Colorado has acquired goaltender Michael Hutchinson from the Leafs for Callie Rosen, who's a defenseman.
Steady backup goalie, veteran. Remember the situation with the Avalanche, who, by the way, the Predators play three times between now and the end of the season.
Saturday, they'll close out the month of February against Colorado.
Three matchups with the Avalanche. They have their goalie hurt, Mr. Grubauer.
Mm-hmm.
How long is he out? Well, this tells you that...
maybe a little bit longer than they thought.
This tells you they needed some help.
Any chance there. David Ayers gets traded today?
How about that story? Golly, that was amazing.
We'll come back to that.
Another
a great
former
story.
Predator, too, who's been rumored a bunch, who's had a nice year. You know, good, gritty fourth-line center Derek Grant has been traded to the Flyers from Anaheim.
Did I just see Nate Thompson was traded as well from Montreal?
Another good grinder, fourth liner, used to play for the Ducks. He played in the series, a couple of those series against the Predators, Ducks Predators. So he is on the move as well.
By the way, Kovalchuk got traded to the Capitals.
Intriguing.
Yep, from the Canadiens.
Kovalchuk
got a third round pick.
On a team with other great Russians like Ovechkin And Kuznetsov, that would be – we'll just see what that does. I mean, imagine if they can catch lightning in a bottle with him. And if you're the Habs, you picked him up off the street for nothing, and you get a third-round pick for him.
And I read that they want to re-sign him this summer, that they really liked him. But, you know, they're obviously in a – I wouldn't say a rebuild, but a tweaking mode.
What we were talking about going to the break we can discuss.
So you can see the temperature right now for teams that are looking for help. You know, the Derek Grants, Nate Thompsons, those are nice, you know, spare parts, role players. Those guys always get moved at the deadline. But if you're looking to make a splash, some of the most attractive names out there and among pending free agents who would be under the category of rental players – right now would be Craig Smith and Mikhail Granlund. And so I think this is the situation you're in. The Predators had a good weekend. The Jets lose both games that they played in. Right? They're running on fumes. They got issues. The Predators have games in hand on the Flames. They have a bunch of games in hand on the Coyotes. And they're still right there on the cusp of making the playoffs. They get 3 out of a possible 4 points. Their chances of making the playoffs are pretty good if they have their act together here, right? If they play to their potential, I don't think there's any question they should make the playoffs. That being said, we know that they have not played on all cylinders all year, and we mentioned salary cap issues going forward here. It's going to be very difficult to keep Smith and Granlund. Couple that with the fact that you're probably going to...
If they don't do corresponding, you know, if they don't move some money, basically...
Yeah, well, you look at guys like Rocco Grimaldi. They're going to they get raises. You know, there's other guys who will get raises. You've got guys coming up through the pike that you want to take a look at.
By the way, Trennan, I think, had a hat trick on Saturday.
Trennan is a guy that's got to be in this lineup here pretty soon, if not later this week. You know, that's possible. But I think you're going to get some phone calls if you're David Poile for some pretty good packages. Hey, you know, just throwing it out there. I don't think he's out there shopping these guys around. I don't think he has to. He's going to get the phone calls. What would it take to get Granlund? What if I offered you this, this, and this? So that, from a hockey standpoint, is happening. Now take it from, though, the Predators' ownership standpoint. This is a team that came into the season. The goal was to win the Stanley Cup. The goal was not, hey, let's retool the team and let's see if we can, you know, it's they're in a window, right? Pekka Rinne's 37. You know, this group has been together. It's supposed to be a team that is going for the whole thing. So I think that's the tough thing. If I'm an owner, I don't like taking a step back. Now, you know, if you're getting an NHLer in return or something, which I don't think is probably the case, it's probably more first-round pick, second-round pick, maybe a prospect that's 19 or 20 years old, something like that, that isn't probably going to help you for these last 21 games. Right, that's a tough dilemma. If I'm an owner, I might say, "Wait a minute, I can't trade Granlund. I can't trade Smith right now. Those are two of my best guys.
But those are the guys
that are bringing it every night."
What is David Poile's job though, as the general manager? I mean, he oversees the now, but what else does he oversee? What is he the caretaker for?
The big picture,
the future. Yeah. I mean, he has to protect the future. He has to protect. More than just today.
But you're going for it today, aren't you?
Well,
let
me ask you something. Of course they're going for it. I mean, yeah. I mean, the job is always to be in the playoffs every year. But I'll say this again, and I want this to come off as a compliment. This is not a knock. But I'll say this, and I've said it before. I agree with the premise. Everything you're saying, of course, he's been one of the best players, especially since John Hines has taken over. He's been the best player.
No question.
But if you are depending on one player to change your fortunes, if your team is hinging on one player, then you got the wrong room. You got the wrong room. If one player, you crumble after one player, then your room is messed up to begin with.
But is it
a blow? Of course. He's played outstanding. But if your room is hinging on one player, then you've just got the wrong room.
But what gives you the best chance?
Do you not agree with that?
I think that the way those guys are playing right now, it'd be one thing if they were just sort of part of the mix.
So you think those guys are leading the way? They crumble if they were to trade somebody away. that's been playing well.
Crumble, I don't know, but I think you would hurt your chances of doing damage in the playoffs.
You know how
you're taking a step back.
So how about you bring, let's say, Trennan up? He fills that void, and let's just say it's safe to say he won't be at that level. But then how about some of the other guys that have been underproducing produce the rest of the way? How about that?
You have to light a fire.
You have filled the gap.
But you might need all those guys because injuries could happen this week where you need them.
With all due respect, they've been out of the playoff picture since November. And Granlund's been in the lineup, or whoever we're talking about has been in the lineup the whole time.
Well, I think that's the conversation.
We're coming up on wrapping up February. They haven't been in the playoff picture since the middle of November. Or at least right there on the outside looking in.
November 13th.
They're on the doorstep. Yeah. I mean, they're right there.
Adam Vinger wrote the article. November 13th is the last time that the standings appeared to start a day, and they were in the top eight. Now, they've played less games, and they're right on the fringe right now. They have closed the gap. They're 8-4-1 in their last 13 games, albeit they haven't played lights out. They got 3 points out of four in the last two games. Without playing great.
Well, I thought they played well against the three teams, the Islanders and the two Blues. I thought that was really good.
No question. They played very well.
I thought they gave away a point in Chicago. I just did. I mean, five power play opportunities. You got to make.
Yes.
I thought Hal said it best in postgame Saturday. You know, you get one power play goal, you may be talking about two points instead of one.
And they could have lost that
game. Actually, you are talking about 2 points instead of one.
They could have lost that game had Pekka not played so well.
Absolutely.
So, I think that's the other realistic. You got to look yourself in the mirror and say, "Hey, I want to believe." And listen, I'm a guy that still thinks that this team, if they play to their potential, can be a team that catches fire at the right time and wins in the playoffs.
I didn't say that can't happen. I'm just saying if you are hinging on one play. I'm not saying if you trade away, it's the white flag. I didn't say that. I just said David Poile's job is the now and the future.
Right.
He has to be the caretaker for down the road.
But I think you would get some people on the outside who are not connected with the team to say the right hockey move would be to move those guys if you can get a really good package, or at least one of those guys. But that would be a tough blow if you're John Hines coming to the rink and you're all of the team, right, and you're getting in that room and all of a sudden they tell you, yep, Granlund's been traded. That would be a tough
pill
for them to swallow.
And you know what? Teams get tough blows throughout courses of the season all the time. And you know what they all say? What does every coach say? What does all the players say? Next man up.
Yeah. Look.
And then right? So why would that be any different here? Everybody says it. There's tough blows taken to rosters throughout the course of a season every year. Coaches don't make excuses. Players don't. They say next man up. We move on. We keep going. St. Louis could have been like, man, we just won the cup. We don't have Tarasenko. Look, everybody will understand. We just won the cup after 55 years, and now we don't have our best player. Everybody will understand. Clearly, they didn't take that approach.
Look, the next man up needs to be the guys that you're paying a lot of money to. Look, I was on Fox 17 last night. Dave Foster asked me the question about, hey, is Philip Forsberg, you know, he hasn't scored a goal in, what is it now, 11 games, something like that. But he had two assists this weekend. And I said, that's great. He's a goal scorer. He needs to score goals.
I thought, say that five times really fast.
No, I won't. I won't be able to.
I thought, in fairness to him, I thought Saturday was his best game.
It was, but he needs to. That's the problem. This is why
I told you guys the goals will come for him. I'm less worried about him than some other guys.
I said that on the show. I said my colleague Willie Donick has said he'll still get 30. Well, he's got to get going. That is the issue. That is why the Predators are in the position that they're in, because you have guys like Forsberg, Duchesne, Arvidsson, and Johansson that you have spent a lot of money on. You have identified those guys as your core four, your top four forwards, and they're not playing like it
now. Are you prepared? Well, let's just take the scenario of, hey, this is a hockey deal that's tough to turn down. Are you prepared as a franchise, though, to say, have all the people going, what about our cup run? Are you waving the white flag? All that stuff. You're going to have some of that if you make that type of move, right? You'd have to be prepared to swallow that kind of stuff. That's the discussion that has to be had, too, right?
I don't know why people – I don't understand why people would have that approach. I don't know how – once again, if you think one person, a whole room is dependent on one person, a guy with 15 goals, it's not like you're trading a guy – somebody away with 35 goals and people would immediately go, what? But if you're hinging on one – then you're just not strong enough. I mean, I don't understand that mentality. How could you think that's waving the white flag?
But that's – but when you watch this team every night, they have got some guys that have got to start – you're right. Everything you said about the top guys, it's been the story all year long for the most part, right? But who are the guys keeping them afloat? The guys keeping them right there on the cusp and moving them in the right direction right now are Granlund, Smith, Bonino, Grimaldi. You know, those are the guys that are pushing.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Colton Sisson's played a good game on Saturday. That's another guy.
It's okay for us to have the conversation. In the end, I don't believe anything's going to happen, personally. That's just me.
I think that's – I still would say that's probably the most likely scenario is that they stand pat.
Unless they get absolutely blown away.
Well, I'm telling you, they're going to get – I don't know if they'll get absolutely blown away, but they're going to have some good offers.
But
they're going to.
To go back to what started this conversation or what I said about it, like if they do get blown away, then take the deal. You can't be scared to get something that's going to make your team better in the long run because, you know, Mikhail Granlund is leading the way, leading the charge right now. You need those other four guys to just step up. I know it's easier said than done, but that's the problem.
By the way, Wayne Simmonds not on the ice for practice for the Devils. I wonder if he is
going to
be
moved.
On the move.
He will be moved.
I'm just not willing to – I'm not going to say that a move changes anything. That's just me, personally.
Changes anything.
You cannot.
Your best all-around forward
you
for
cannot,
the last
I don't believe it's
months?
Waving any white flag at all. That's just me. Because I think that's ridiculous to say.
I just don't think you can
I don't know how any team,
forward.
Unless we're talking about Ovechkin, Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, I don't know how anybody could be linked to one player where, oh my goodness, you traded them away, yep, it's over. If you're not in that, if you're not in those that category that we all can name those players, I don't know how you could say you're linked to one player and that's it. Oh my gosh, what do we do now? If you're saying, oh, my gosh, what do we do now? I'll just keep saying it. You got the wrong room.
Yeah.
Period.
I'm just presenting.
You got the wrong room.
I agree with you there.
I don't like the makeup of the room. You got the wrong room if it's, oh, my gosh, what do we do now?
I'm just presenting both sides of, I think, a conversation. And whichever way nobody has a crystal ball to know what will happen. That's the beauty of hockey is the 2012, I think, L.A. Kings got in on the last day of the season as the eighth seed and won the whole thing. That's the thing that you cling to where you can be bad. Not bad. You can be in the mud for 3 months, which is kind of how this team has been. They're starting to show signs, trending in the right direction. They're going to need their best quarter of the season. But if they can find it, then history has shown that you have a chance to do some things.
I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole
beep
thing. Wrap up the first hour next. This is what I know. Twick's coming up at 11:45.
Indeed.
A pair of tickets to see Chris Stapleton at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 23rd.
That's a hot ticket.
Hello. A very hot ticket. But you'll have to bring it.
We saw him open for Guns N' Roses.
We did. At Nissan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because we saw Guns N' Roses at Nissan and in Bridgestone.
We did.
But nobody opened up at Bridgestone.
Nope. No, we were given the tip of when they would hit the stage.
A hot tip that was good info.
Great info.
To be in your seat by 7. And we were like, huh? And then when they hit the stage, GNR, and there was about half the arena was full, everybody was thinking like us, huh? What? They're really on the stage at 7?
Yeah.
And they were. At 7 o'clock on the
button. They were indeed.
That was a good hot tip right there from somebody on the inside.
Glad we know people.
Yep. Speaking of that, what do we know
about?
We
have a trade to announce.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Gary.
Uh-oh. What do we have? Let's update everybody on some of the trades.
All right. If there's one that's come down in the last minute or two.
There is.
All right. Tell me the one that you just saw, because I've got the list of.
The Wayne train is on the move. Wayne Simmons has been traded to the Buffalo Sabres.
Wow. Now, that is a little surprising. What did they give up?
I'm waiting to see that.
Because the Sabres, they ain't making the playoffs.
Well, conditional 8 points out.
Conditional fifth round pick going to the Devils from Buffalo for Wayne Simmons. That can turn into a fourth.
What world are the Sabres living in?
What are they doing?
Now, they're playing better. They're playing pretty well right now, but I think it's too late.
By the way, Bogosian got picked up by Tampa.
Yeah, that was an interesting move. He terminated his contract to get out of there, and he gave up money in the process just to set himself free, and he gets picked up by the hottest team in the league. So that was intriguing last night.
Nick Bonino's missed the last two games. He is out on the ice practicing.
Good. Good to get him back. So they're going to have some decisions to make with the lineup tomorrow. Obviously, if they make a trade, that could change some things, but I think that Colin Blackwell has played two excellent games, right? He's got an assist in both games that Bonino has missed. Tough to take him out right now. Here are the other trades, quickly. The Flyers get Derek Grant, who's had, 13 goals for the Ducks this year. He's had a career year. They give up a fourth and a prospect for him. I wish I could tell you about some of these prospect names. I really don't if they're not in the Predator system, with a few exceptions. The Maple Leafs trade Callie Rosen to the Avalanche for backup goaltender Michael Hutchinson. Hutchinson has played well the last couple of years. The Avalanche need a goalie. Hutchinson, with the injury to Philip Grubauer, is probably going to play quite a bit here in the next few weeks. Patrick Marleau, the veteran, goes to the Penguins, who are loading up, as they always do. They have Zucker now, and they have Patrick Marleau. They give up a third-round pick to the Sharks. The Flyers also trade for Nate Thompson, so they get Grant and Thompson, who were both on the Ducks at one point. I don't know if they've ever played together, but those are two gritty fourth-line guys. Flyers are holding a playoff spot right now. They've had a good year. Predators play them twice, by the way, down the stretch. The Canadiens get a fifth-round pick back. Nashville plays Montreal twice this year before the season is over. Hurricanes get Vincent Trocheck from the Panthers for Eric Halla, Lucas Walmark, a prospect, two prospects. So four players go to the Panthers for Trocheck, who is a big impact player. So the Hurricanes, who are a really good team, just added a very skilled player. Islanders get Jean-Gabriel Pageau from the Senators, who the Predators play tomorrow, for a conditional first-rounder this year, a second, which could turn into a first-round pick next year. So they're getting a first, a second-round pick this year, and a 2022 conditional third-round pick. The Avalanche get Vlad Nemesnikov, another steady player, good role player, once on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they get him from the Senators for a 2021 fourth-round pick. So that's another veteran that will be out of the lineup tomorrow from the Senators. But the Avs pick up another good, steady role player. Edmonton Oilers get Mike Green, a veteran defenseman, from the Red Wings for Kyle Brodziak and a fourth. And then we mentioned last night, Ilya Kovalchuk for a third in a trade with Montreal.
More of an update on the Wayne Simmons trade. New Jersey is retaining 50% of the salary, so I think that could be a part of the price here. But New Jersey gets a conditional fifth-round pick, can upgrade to a fourth if Buffalo makes the playoffs and Wayne Simmons plays in 10 games.
That's crazy. I wonder if the Sabres have interest in Simmons after this year. He's a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah, just like he was.
I know. And he only signed a $5 million deal. I don't even know if he's not going to get that.
No.
No, he's at a different stage of his career, for sure.
He's only 31. Yeah. Isn't that weird? How he's fallen off. Chris Kreider, by the way, staying in New York with the Rangers. Re-ups for 7 more years.
And Rocco Grimaldi signs a 2-year extension, 2-year contract to stay with the Predators, $2 million per year.
Minnesota Wild has hit the ice for their practice, and all their players are present and accounted for.
One other thing that
maybe the Wild are done.
One thing that we didn't mention, too, is the Rangers, who have played really well recently. They have sort of overachieved you know, they have a kind of a big picture plan of retooling, but they're sort of ahead of the curve. But they lost two players for the season in a car accident. You know, fortunately not life threatening, but they are injured to the point where they will be out for the season. One of the two Russian goalies, and let me get the name on that guy. I don't want to butcher it. And Pavel Buzhnevich, a pretty nice forward for them. Igor Shesterkin, who has really burst on the scene. So that's a tough thing for the Rangers there.
We will come back, kick off the second hour with Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, will join us next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.